up the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here on a special time today, a special New Year's Eve edition, as I've been promoting for the past few weeks, our special time today. But we will have so much fun. Like I said, we have an action-packed show tonight. We have, of course, our Raw recap, but we're going to visit, like I said before, we're going to visit a few Flavor of the Week episodes, just kind of recap them, kind of revisit them a little bit, and we're going to refer to some as well. And we also have our Pancakes and Power Slams year-end award show tonight. So it's going to be a bit condensed. We've got a lot to cover as far as Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor, as far as Impact Wrestling and SmackDown. Check out my reviews of last week on WrestlingInc.com. WrestlingInc.com. Check out my Impact Wrestling and my SmackDown reviews from last week because of the show, and as much as we have in the show tonight, we're not going to be able to touch on any of that. But of course, I go with them in detail on WrestlingInc.com, so check out my Impact Wrestling and SmackDown reviews. I want to thank everyone for continuing to listen to Pancakes and Power Slams. This is episode number 92, and last week had the most non-interview listeners in the history of Pancakes and Power Slams. So I want to thank you all so much for continuing to listen. I mean, the numbers continue to shoot through the roof and continue to go up and up and up. And 92 episodes, obviously we're doing something well. Me and my wonderful, esteemed Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, Derek.
Yep, yep. Hey, here we are again, Pancakes and Power Slams. Special New Year's Eve to everybody. Be safe, be happy, enjoy your wrestling. And this is a time of year that I reflect. How do I see the world of wrestling when I look back to the 2013, and when I think that the 2013 wrestling, I get a question mark in my head, like what really happened that was spectacular. So tonight's going to be an awesome night. We're going to hit on our usual stuff. We're also just going to have fun categories as far as the award show. Not really awards. We're not handing out trophies to Chris Jericho or anything. But we're going to give our opinions, stats. We want 347-884-8452. We want your opinion. Get us in the chat room, Twitter. And we want to know, what did you think of 2013 wrestling? What could be better? What do we want to see in 2014? Back to you, Chris Featherstone.
Absolutely. Tweet at Crave Wrestling for your thoughts, or go in the chat room for your thoughts. There's going to be categories. We have eight categories total. We're just going to discuss. Derek's going to give his choice. So Derek has his own award. I have my own award, and that's how we're going to do it. And as far as social media is concerned, tweet at Crave Wrestling. And if we get enough tweets and if we get enough feedback, I'll go ahead and write an article on it on Bleacher Report on Wrestling.com or WeAreWrestling.net. And we'll go ahead and approach it from that vantage point and let you all have your interaction as far as who you think fits the bill on each category. And, of course, if you want to have your thoughts set live and your opinion set live as far as who's the winner, again, log on live to the chat room or tweet live at Crave Wrestling. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, how can we go the final Pancakes and Power Slams episode of 2013, how can we go without trivia? That is one of the bread and butter of Pancakes trivia. And Power Slams is the trivia, minus the time that Derek just blurted out. But other than that, we have fantastic trivia episode. We have fantastic trivia questions, and we have fun interaction with our Pancakes of Power Slams listeners and supporters. Thank you so much again for the fantastic numbers and the continued support. So let's go with our first trivia question to start off tonight. What was the brand of perfume spray used by Rick Martel? What was the brand of perfume?
I know you're chomping at the bits.
Man. What was the brand of perfume spray used by Rick Martel?
That's a good question.
All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start off with Raw, our normal introduction. Raw, we first start off with a CM Punk in-ring promo, interrupted by the Shield, and they argue over who should face CM Punk. Brett Maddox comes out and announces Punk versus Rollins after Rollins stepped up, and that ended up leading to CM Punk defeating Seth Rollins. I like how they're pushing Seth Rollins. I like how they're making him kind of his own breakout star. However, when the Shield breaks up, I still don't see Seth Rollins as a top guy. I see him more in the Evan Bourne, Kofi Kingston, Tyson Kidd category, very agile wrestlers, but not really going to do much. I'm glad that they're at least giving him an argument, and I said this on my SmackDown review this weekend about his match with John Cena, which was a good match. Actually, I think it was a better match than his match with CM Punk, but it's giving him an opportunity to argue that he should have a prominent spot in the WWE. But I don't know. I mean, there's just too many people ahead of him. This is what I would do. I would have Seth Rollins get a mid-card title. I would have him get the United States title or something in that regard. And I would bring up the mid-card feuds. I do like what they're doing with the Intercontinental Championship, with the number one contenders matches. I've always been a fan of that, how they're putting Fandango in the mix, Damian Sandow. They should do the same thing with the U.S. title. I like a Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler feud, even at Mania, at somewhere after Mania, Payback, if they have that again, Extreme Rules, whatever. But I think that Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins for a mid-card title, I think that that would be a potential show stealer.
Yeah, that would be a show stealer. That's a really good analogy. And with the arrogance of Seth Rollins last night, just trying to outdo the other members of the Shield. I get what you're saying. I don't think he's ready for it yet either. I kind of think that he'll probably just be a mid-card. You compared him to Kofi Kingston, which is kind of harsh. But
it is kind of harsh.
I get that,
true,
and just, the air. So.
Yeah, I think that. I think that he has an opportunity to, like I said, I think the argument is there, but I don't see him going too far other than these opportunities to show himself. But unfortunately, when they break up, I mean, the Seth Rollins needs the Shield more than any other one of them. I think there's no dispute about that. So
then we
had Stephanie McMahon presenting a Randy Orton tribute video, announces Orton versus Cena at Royal Rumble. This isn't a surprise. I would have preferred Daniel Bryan be a part of that mix. A triple threat match would have more excitement to it at, for the Royal Rumble event, because we've seen Orton Cena before. I really don't want to see it again. Just to, and there, plus there's no stipulation to the match, so it's just a regular match between the two. I'm not interested, and I think that we'll talk more about Daniel Bryan if we agree or disagree with this decision towards the end of the show on Raw. But I'm not really interested in another John Cena versus Randy Orton match with absolutely no stipulation involved.
Hey, I'm not either. I think my signal got cut off a little bit ago. But, yeah, the John Cena and the Randy Orton, we've seen that so many times. I mean, it's so done, it's boring. And that's why in the WWE, with 2013, I don't think they really, they didn't make it a memorable year. And a lot of it's kind of based around this. Are you kidding me? This is how you, they're going to keep doing it and keep doing it. And it's, again, it's lost its luster, and I'm with you. I mean, a total bust. This is refiller.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, we did talk about a past episode of Pancakes and Power Slams. We talked about the parallel careers of Randy Orton and John Cena, and we get that again now, I believe it was episode.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, great job. The answer of the trivia question is arrogance. And that's
you guessed it. What was that?
Yeah. Well, you,
chat room or Twitter?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you said it, but you know, we already had something.
Okay.
We already had the correct answer. Next question: who was known as this? You know what? Since you want to blurt out answers, this question goes directly to you, Derek. Who was known as the Man of 1,001 Holds?
Dean Malenko.
Incorrect. I knew you were going to say Dean Malenko. That is the incorrect answer, because Dean Malenko was known as the Man of 1,000 Holds. And Mr. Armbar himself, Chris Jericho, was known as the Man of 1,001 Holds.
Sorry.
Because when
my
he did his arm,
cut out.
When
my
he
signal cut out,
absolutely.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's not your signal. It's your incorrect answer. The Chris Jericho's armbar speech was when
Hello?
He donned himself the
Hello?
Man. Yeah, you're here. Yeah. You're here. You can hear us loud and clear from your location. Dean Malenko was the incorrect answer. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's go forward to the next match, which was Dolph Ziggler and Curtis Axel. Battle of your mid-carders. I'm glad that Dolph Ziggler had a win leading into 2014, because his career, the latter half of Daniel Bryan's career has been just totally awful. He had the biggest pop of 2013 when he won the match against Alberto Del Rio when he cashed in his Money in the Bank the day after WrestleMania in New Jersey. And I mean, he was red hot. Unfortunately, his concussion hurt him. So you blame Jack Swagger for that, because it was during a match with them. But I really don't think that Dolph Ziggler really rebounded from there. And then there's an interview that was talking about, you know, what happened with him in an interview before SummerSlam. And he kind of shoot it a little bit. And they kind of buried him since then. But I mean, he's a good wrestler. I mean, he had a good match, you know, against Randy Orton at SmackDown. But for some reason, they had Randy Orton just decide to beat him up afterwards, which is useless because it didn't build to anything more. It's sad what they're doing with Dolph Ziggler. It really is. But even worse than that, at least I see a more promising 2014 for him than I see Curtis Axel. Curtis Axel as an individual star, he is just about curtains to me.
Yeah, he's curtains. It's great to say that Curtis Axel is no longer the IC champion. And
yes.
For Dolph Ziggler, doggone it. I mean, it's like he almost had it, and now he's back into the shuffle, and he's going to be forgotten for a while. Or it's WWE doesn't have the priorities in straight. They have so much talent right now that can actually do things, and they just kind of give Triple H a spotlight and Randy Orton and John Cena again and again and again and again. Tired of it. I'm looking for a great 2014 as well. For mid-carders, I hope for it. Keep the ball rolling. What's next?
I definitely wish a good 2014 for mid-carders, I think. And I've been trying to promote the mid-card scene for quite some time now, and it merits, you know, a promotion, and I think that's the mid-card. I mean, back in the day, back in the early 90s when, you know, the Intercontinental Championship really meant something, I mean, it was such a workhorse championship, and it really meant something. It really was a catapult to become the next champion. I mean, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels.
Mid-carders,
I mean, you name
ran
it.
The show.
Absolutely. I mean, what? SummerSlam 92, Wembley Stadium. The
SummerSlam 91.
Yeah, well, so it was Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect. And then SummerSlam 92 was the main. It was the main event. Of the entire event, yes, at Wembley Stadium. It was the main event, Bret Hart and British Bulldog. So it was such an important title back in the day, and I think it has the opportunity to be revived, and it should be.
Yeah. Even in the late 90s it was. I mean, with Stone Cold and The Rock.
Yep.
They just...
Austin, absolutely. So. Austin and Rock, yep, those are two other names to add, and even Jericho, when he was, you know, he became...
Triple H.
He was Intercontinental Champion. Triple H, yep.
Shawn Michaels,
four people.
I mean, they all held it.
Yep, those people became world champions, and Intercontinental Championship was a stepping stone to them achieving that feat. All right, well, let's go to the first topic of our Pancakes and Power Slams year-end awards is the Tag Team of the Year. Now, the nominees are Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns of The Shield, Goldust and Cody Rhodes, or The Usos. Who you got, Derek?
I got Team Rhodes. To me, they absolutely just embodied the tag team division of the year. Nothing against The Shield. Usos, yeah, they're great. You know, they have their time. But absolutely, Team Rhodes. I mean, Goldust coming back, being in the tip-top shape that he's in, along with Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, to me, was not that important to me until he teamed up with Goldust. And it's just been nothing but an awesome, awesome tag team connection.
I'm going to have to go with you on that as far as the Tag Team of the Year is concerned, Cody Rhodes and Goldust. I think that when the Shield had it, when they beat Team Hell No, they really didn't have many good competitors. You had, you know, they had a few with the Usos that was good. They had that pre-show match that was pretty good. But they really didn't have – they really didn't open up the Tag Team division like the Rhodes brothers or the Brotherhood has. And I think that I have to agree with you as far as Cody Rhodes. Money in the Bank really kind of helped him become a breakout star in his feud with Damian Sandow when Sandow
won
the case. The mustache was
like
a bit
mustache.
Awkward.
And his face mask.
the mask, maxed Cody Rhodes, I think, was his best individual gimmick. He got the most over. He beat Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania with that gimmick. So I think that that was probably his best gimmick from an individual standpoint. But as far as now is concerned, I think that this is probably the height of his career. And Goldust, as much as he's been wrestling for over 20 years now, and he still said that this is probably his best moment of his entire career, you know, almost 45 years old. So I have to give it to the Rhodes Brothers. They really revived the scene. They really opened up more tag teams to become contenders. They opened up for the Real Americans, Primetime Players, the Usos, Rollins and Reigns, Ryback, or whatever, Los Matadores, even Rey Mysterio and Big Show for a hot second was in the tag team division. So I definitely have to give it to them. Next on Raw, we have Biggie Langston versus Fandango, your boy. It was a good match. Again, going back to the Intercontinental Championship, it was good. I like what they're doing with the Intercontinental Championship. I'm really happy, finally, that they're pushing these mid-card champions. Well, at least Biggie Langston. They're not really doing anything with Dean Ambrose. Mind you, there was a stat that just came out. He hasn't defended the title in over 2 months. That's absolutely horrible. I remember back in the day when they used to have the 30-day rule. If you don't defend it, it becomes vacant. But nowadays, you can just wear it, and it absolutely means nothing. But the Big E Langston and Fandango match was really good, and I think that it helped. The length of the match and the back and forth, it really helps Big E Langston's push. And it makes it seem more organic as far as him being a fighting champion. So I liked the match. It was good. And kudos to Big E Langston.
Kudos to Fandango. He's making his mark. He's still around.
He's making his mark. No way. Summer Rae's more
there.
Popular than he is.
Okay. Summer Rae, blah, blah, blah. But he made Big E Langston look good. He did his job last night. And, for somebody like me, that's something to be happy about. I hope Fandango, he's going to be something, Mr. Featherstone, let me tell you that. But he put on a great show last night. That was good. It was refreshing to see that happen.
Wishful thinking. No good. He will never be as popular as you have him in your head. Next trivia question was, what was The Undertaker's name when he first debuted? Derek, don't answer that yet. What was The Undertaker's name when he first debuted? Next, we had R-Truth defeating Brodus Clay. I don't understand what they're really doing with Brodus Clay. I mean, they made him a heel, but he's not really being a monster heel because he has like a cockiness, bitterness to him, which I like that gimmick, but he doesn't really win matches. He lost against R-Truth. I mean, he beat Xavier Woods in the tag team match when he was still with Tons of Funk, but as a individual heel, I mean, he lost against R-Truth at the pay-per-view. He lost against Tensai on SmackDown, and he lost against R-Truth again on Raw. So he's not really winning matches, so what's the whole point of building him up as a heel and having him make this turn if he doesn't benefit any from it? I think it was a good idea to make a turn, or to refreshing Brodus Clay as a gimmick, but it doesn't mean anything if you're going to keep having him lose.
No, it doesn't. I don't know what they're going to do with Brodus Clay. I mean, I really never thought his character, his persona, would ever really amount to anything, and still hasn't, even as a heel. So, yeah. What are you going to do, Brodus Clay?
Right. What you going to do, Brodus Clay? Brodus Clay versus Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 30. What do you think?
Yeah, Brodus Clay's got a pretty good chance.
Well,
is Hulk Hogan, by the way?
Have we ever talked
about Hulk Hogan much on here?
We've talked about Hogan. During the time of Pancakes and Power Slams, he was on TNA. So we'll talk about the Impact Wrestling, but he's been gone from there for a few months. So yeah, there's some rumors that he may come back for WrestleMania 30. We'll see where that goes, and it would be interesting to – it would be really, really interesting, because when I think of Brodus Clay, I think of like Earthquake and Typhoon back in the early 90s, because you know how Hulk Hogan always had the big guy who he had to go against to really prove his immortal status. And when they had the nerve to place him in a feud against Earthquake, and I think that Brodus Clay can be like, he has just about the same build as Earthquake did too. And so it would be really, really interesting if Brodus Clay would have this gimmick go into WrestleMania and have an impromptu match that doesn't last long at all against Hulk Hogan. That would be really, really, really funny to me. I highly doubt that would happen.
It's horrible.
I've written this before too in articles. We don't want to see Hogan have a full time schedule, but all the traditional wrestling fans, come on now. He's 60 years old. I understand he's crippled, and
Hogan,
you know,
and John Cena.
It would be sad to see him in an actual match. Hogan and Cena, absolutely not, because he would have to wrestle past 5 minutes. and that would just be absolutely horrible. But we all would mark out when we see Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania. Come on now. We would suspend reality for about 20 years, and we would mark out when we hear, dun, dun, dun. When, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what we will mark out when we hear this. Absolutely. When it comes stretching down and it hurts inside, what you gonna do, Brodus Clay, brother, when the 26-inch pythons one drown on you, brother? We would mark out when we hear Real American. Let's not act like we're too big or we're too grown to mark out for Hulk Hogan. It will happen if Hulk Hogan comes back at WrestleMania. We will have our nostalgic moment. We will have our 1989 childhood nostalgic moment when he does the leg drop, when he does all that. And then after WrestleMania, we'll go back to normal, but we'll have that nostalgic moment at WrestleMania. Kane,
like
the Undertaker. No. Kane the Undertaker is the correct answer. Undertaker came as Kane the Undertaker when he debuted at Survivor Series. What year was that? Survivor Series debut.
97.
So the Undertaker debut. No, I'm talking about the question.
Your question was when the Undertaker first debuted, what was his name? It was Mean Mark.
Yeah, his name was Kane the Undertaker. That was his name.
In WWE.
Yeah, that was his name when he first came to WWE. His name was Kane the Undertaker.
Survivor
Series in 1990. Yes, absolutely. Survivor Series 1990 is when he debuted. All right, let's go to our next year end award. Our next year in the award, the topic is the finishing move of the year. The categories is the Daniel Bryan running knee, the Roman Reigns spear, or the GTS from CM Punk. What do you got, Derek?
I'll go with Daniel Bryan. I think he's had a pretty good year. So, I mean, he's been able to get the job done when they give him the chance. Otherwise, he's just a guy with a big beard. But I'll give it to him, Daniel Bryan.
I'm going to have to go with Roman Reigns' spear. I think that I like the knee. I like the Bazaku knee from Daniel Bryan. However, I do think that the spear is much more potent as far as the quickness, as far as Roman Reigns' size. just the Goldberg. Lightning quick. I really think that Roman Reigns has perfected and continued to perfect that spear. And speaking of past Flavor of the Week episodes, episode 23, we talked about wrestling's most recognized spears. So this one adds on to the recognized spears that we talked before. If you can remember, just throw out some spears that you can think of as far as wrestlers are concerned wrestlers have pretty good spears.
Well, they have good spears. I thought Goldberg had a pretty good spear. Tell you the truth, I think he mastered it.
Yeah, I think Goldberg has the best spear. I'll give Rhino. I think Rhino has a good spear as well.
Oh, and the Gore!
I think I never liked Edge's spear, though. I think that Edge's spear
he's
is kind of like
not
a...
big enough.
No, I mean, he's tall enough. He's not big enough. I think it's kind of like a mid-hug. Like, he kind of hugs you and kind of flops down with you. I'm not a big fan of... And there's no follow-through with Edge's spear either. It's more of just like, hey, I'm going to cradle you, I'm going to hug you, and we're both going to drop down, I'm going to drop on my knees, and that's about it. So I was never really a big fan of Edge's spear. And then when Christian started doing it too, as much as I like Christian as a wrestler, I wasn't a big fan of that either. Not in the slightest. The next we have on Raw, Triple H introducing a returning Brock Lesnar. And Paul Heyman speaks, and he says Brock Lesnar deserves to be WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Why?
Says, and then he says, you know, anybody come in the back and blah, blah, blah. Of course we're going to have someone come out because that always leads to someone coming out in the back. And... who shows up? Mark Henry. He scuffles with Lesnar a bit. He throws him over the ramp. But when he gets up to pick him up, he gets speared or really harpooned through the barricade and eventually F5. I tweeted about this during Raw. And I said that I like this as a filler feud. I'm a big fan of this because we report on WrestlingInc.com that it was rumored to be Brock Lesnar versus The Big Show. Now, that's totally not out of the mix, but I definitely would be much more of a fan of Brock Lesnar and Mark Henry than Brock Lesnar and Big Show. We've seen Brock Lesnar and Big Show before, and Brock Lesnar and Mark Henry would be a nice fresh feud. They never really feuded. Of course, we had that crazy F5 that Brock Lesnar gave Mark Henry back in the early 2000s on the, I think it was episode of Raw that he gave him a crazy F5. But now you've got a more menacing, you've got a more dominant Mark Henry. And when he came out and he had that face that he's ready to get it on, I like the intensity of what I see with Mark Henry and Brock Lesnar. And I tweeted that I like this as a filler feud, but they can't mess it up, though. The WWE can't mess it up by making either one of them look bad. And, of course, I think this would just build momentum for Brock Lesnar leading to WrestleMania, and Mark Henry will put him over. Of course, I understand that. But you can't have Mark Henry look bad in this feud. It should benefit both of them.
Yeah, that's what will happen, though. It's because when I saw Mark Henry come out, that was great. For a minute, I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. But then again, it's like it's Mark Henry. They are going to make Brock Lesnar look so much better than Mark Henry. I honestly think that the WWE will probably just make it look like not a squash match, but almost close to it. To where Brock Lesnar will totally dominate whoever he goes against in WrestleMania, probably John Cena or somebody. I'd like to see Mark Henry come back, but I don't think that he's got anything to do with Brock Lesnar. The WWE is not going to give Mark Henry the chance to really make himself shine.
And that's unfortunate, too, because I really think
it is. It's unfortunate, but that's how I think it's going to play.
Yeah, I think that Mark Henry deserves, you know, he's been a workhorse for the business since 1996. And I really think, you know, even if it's not another world title reign, especially since the title's unified now, that pretty much disqualifies him from getting any type of world title, which still goes on. It still proves my point of why the title shouldn't be unified. And it's just I'm going to keep talking about that subject, and it doesn't deserve to be unified, period. But, you know, it is unified now, and it's unfortunate for people like Mark Henry because now he's going to just be putting people over, probably like, you know, Brock Lesnar. And but you know what, come to think of it, I can see some positive in this. I can see that, you know, maybe Brock Lesnar puts over Mark Henry. He's not going to put him over. Maybe Mark Henry puts over Brock Lesnar. Mark Henry gets upset that he lost against Brock Lesnar, and he feel like he lost his edge. He feel like he's lost his mean streak, and that causes him to turn on Biggie Langston. So maybe he can transition into a feud with Mark Henry and Biggie Langston. I think eventually we should see that. We especially should see that at WrestleMania. And this may help. You know, Mark Henry losing against Brock Lesnar may heighten his mean streak. And so I've been catering to y'all for too long, and I'm, you know, the mean, you know, Mark Henry is back. I don't care about any one of y'all. Y'all made me lose against Brock Lesnar. So it could happen. You can transition into that with Biggie Langston. And so I think that's the only positive that we may get out of this whole thing. Oksana, Alicia Fox, Caitlin, Summer Rae, and Rosa Mendez defeat the Total Divas. Finally, the non-Total Divas defeats the Total Divas. And finally, Oksana gets a pinfall victory to someone. I think that, and I've said this before, Oksana and maybe Summer Rae are the only two heels at the time right now that could, and I wrote this on the article on Bleacher Report, and I said this, that those are really the only two heels that could really lead the division without AJ, and that's why AJ, it's so important for AJ to be there. But they're going to have to start building up other heels just in case, you know, when AJ loses, so they'll have more people in the hunt. And, of course, all the controversy went on with AJ Lee and Michelle Beadle, and that whole thing happened, and there were rumors that she was going to drop the title. So they should have some heels already on deck to lead the division. And I think Oksana has what it takes. She has a very sultry, seductive heel gimmick. The music may need to change a bit, but I think, I mean, she's a decent wrestler. The finishing move didn't look too bad. So I think, you know, pushing Oksana would help the WWE, and I'm glad that she got the pinfall victory.
Yeah, when you talk about the Divas, it was a decent match. But I just got to tell you that right now, if you're watching bowl games, Duke is up on Texas A&M. They're now 13-3 in the first quarter. And I just want to say that.
I am a Duke fan.
The Divas division, Johnny Manziel.
That is your personal soundbite there. Yeah, I'm for those who don't know, I'm a huge Duke basketball fan, so I'm rooting for Duke by default for football. I am a big fan of Duke's season, and I think that the coaching staff did a fantastic job just really turning Duke around, and I think that
Duke,
they're doing
doing
a fantastic job. They only lost twice this year, though. I mean, they lost. They pulled some good. They did some really good job. They did a fantastic job David Cutcliffe did a really, really good job just transforming that team. And I'm talking about Duke,
you're talking Blue about
Devils
Duke
football right now. You're the
okay,
one that brought
okay,
it
I'm
up.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, they're doing a great job.
Yes, and you know he's been there for 5 years, so he's tried to revive it. But this year was Cutcliffe's year. So fantastic job by David Cutcliffe and great job. So for to be 10-3 and to be 6-2 in the division and first in the ACC. So. Great
Chick-fil-A
job.
Chick-fil-A Bowl, that's not that cool.
No, not so much, but hey, you know, so be it.
Good for them. It's been, go underdogs.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. All right, well, the next we'll go to the awards. We'll go to the year-end awards. The next category goes to the shocking moment of the year. The categories are CM Punk, Mox, Paul Bearer, the Triple H heel turn, or Daniel Bryan joins the Wyatt family. What you got, Derek?
You say CM Punk joins Paul Bearer?
No, he mocks Paul Bearer during the Undertaker.
He did?
Feud.
I don't remember that. Oh, yes, he did. Wow, I can't believe I forgot that. Yeah, that's shocking. Whatever. CM Punk, who are you? You're not the best thing about CM Punk is his theme music, and that's about it, so... Yeah, that was pretty, can't mock that guy. Undertaker!
There you go. Somehow we get a Paul Bearer. Yeah, okay. We get a
okay,
Paul
with Jim
Bearer.
Cornette.
Sure. All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to give that. There's your Jim Cornette reference of the week. I thought that was over with, but I guess not.
No, 2014 is a year for Jim Cornette.
Really? Is he bringing back Smoky Mountain?
No, I mean 1987 was the year for Jim Cornette.
With the Midnight Express, I guess the
probably
new Midnight Express. He was in the 80s. Jim Cornette was the man, but that's as far as he went. The 80s, that was it. Camp Cornette and the WWE wasn't even that good, but 80s Midnight Express Cornette was really good. I will say again that Jim Cornette is very, very good on the mic, and he's one of the best promo cutters, non-wrestling promo cutters of all time. Speaking of promo cutters of all time, episode 8, we address
eight.
The best promo cutters of all time. Yes, Pancakes and Power Slams, episode 8, we address the best promo cutters of all time. So, for everyone who would like to know who we voted the best promo cutters of all time, archive episode 8, and you'll see it. You'll see it there. I mean, there was a bunch of cool names that were.
I want to know right
addressed.
Now.
And I even wrote an article about it on the Bleacher Report. And the number one promo cutter of all time, in my opinion, goes to Hulk Hogan. So he was a larger than life promo cutter. I think it was. There's no doubt that Hulk Hogan kind of got you in the mood when he cut his promo, and his, and he was such a everything against him, back against the wall type of gimmick many times, because he would go against all the big heels, the flash in the pan, big heels, and back against the wall, and so he would cut the promo just to get the excitement of the WWE audience just with him to back him up. So I got to give it to him. I gave Flair's up there as one of the best of all time. Dusty Rhodes is up there. Jake Roberts is up there. Steve Austin, The Rock, Chris Jericho.
Dusty Rhodes reference.
Yes. Hard times, yes. Brother. A computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times. Yes, there's my Dusty Rhodes reference for the week. So we got our Jim Cornette, and we got our Dusty Rhodes reference for the week. So we are fulfilled.
Dugan.
And there you go, Dugan. We got the trifecta of references for the week. And then the main event of Raw was Daniel Bryan defeating Luke Harper. Then Eric Rowan, he was supposed to go through a gauntlet match of wrestlers of the Wyatt family to get to Bray Wyatt, and he defeated Luke Harper first in a very long match. I think it was a little bit too long leading into Bray Wyatt. I understand why it was long now, but, I mean, it went a little bit too long for me. And then Eric Rowan was shorter, but I just kind of lost interest a bit when. But I'm glad he got a roll up because I really didn't want to see it go that long again. And then we get to Bray Wyatt, then he gets jumped, then eventually he says that he is going to join the Wyatt family. And finally, he is following the buzzards. And he looks back at the crowd, and they're saying Daniel Bryan. They're saying no. They're chanting him on not to make that decision. But unfortunately, he walks back with his head hanging down, and now he is a part of the Wyatt family. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it was kind of a snoozer match. You know, you see it. Daniel Bryan's part of the Wyatt family now, but big deal. But let's have some more fun here on Pancakes and Power Slams. Let's get to past flavor of the week. I'm curious to know more about it. And I want to also know, you said that Hulk Hogan was your personal favorite of the flavor of the week of Episode 8, but what was the actual winner? Was it Hogan?
Hogan, yeah, Hogan was the best.
Was it really?
I
would have said, well, I. No offense against Hogan, he's great. I give it to him too.
Mm-hmm. And so next we're going to have our year in the award. Our next topic is the Mid-Card Wrestler of the Year. The nominees are Dean Ambrose, Biggie Langston, or Damian Sandow.
I'd give it to Dean Ambrose.
You give it to Dean Ambrose, really? Okay.
I would, yeah. I'd give it to Dean Ambrose. I'm surprised Fandango wasn't on there. Wow. I would have given that to him.
You're really surprised Fandango wasn't a nominee?
Yeah, well, I'm not. Come on now. I love Fandango, but I know I'm in my own ship. I'm in my own boat.
Yes, I thought
Dean Ambrose did great. He did. He still has the U.S. title. He still has it.
He barely defended the title.
Yeah, well, he still has it.
He's done absolutely nothing in the 7 months that he's had the title.
He's had an awesome. Anybody in WWE that watches WWE knows who Dean Ambrose is. And, I mean, he's a solid talent. 2014 is going to be a good year for all the individual Shield members and Dean Ambrose.
I don't know about Seth Rollins. I hope I'm wrong on that, but I don't know about Seth Rollins, unfortunately. I don't think that Ambrose kind of took a step back in my book in 2013 because he had all this hype. I followed him in the indies when he was Jon Moxley. I understand how, you know, you've worked with him, so you have a personal experience with Dean Ambrose as far as, you know, wrestling with him and working with him. Following him, you know, in the indies, I understand why the hype was so much. You know, he was popular. He was an indie sensation. But I think the WWE toned him down a lot. I mean, even in his days of NXT was good. I followed him in NXT as well. But the Shield as a whole was good. But Ambrose as a singles competitor, no, not so much. I don't – he really didn't – he has not at all revived the Intercontinental title, the mid-card title, the U.S. title. He has not at all revived that title. And that's the reason why I have to give it to Biggie Langston, because the Intercontinental Championship throughout the entire year was meaningless. I mean, you had Kofi Kingston having, in the beginning of the year, you had Kofi Kingston and Wade Barrett going back and forth. And then you had The Miz defeating Wade Barrett at WrestleMania in the pre-show. So you had The Miz in the hunt as well. Barrett getting it back. And then Kofi Kingston getting it back. And then Dean Ambrose. And so you had some type of back and forth with the U.S. title in the beginning. Not Dean Ambrose, but as far as the Intercontinental title, you had Kofi Kingston, and then you had a match with, it was The Miz, Fandango, and Wade Barrett, because Wade Barrett got it back from The Miz after, I think, like the next night. So it was like The Miz, Fandango, and the Miz, Fandango, and Curtis Axel, I believe it was, because I think The Miz got it back. Because I know Wade Barrett beat The Miz again, because The Miz won at the pre-show match at WrestleMania. And then Wade Barrett, if I'm not mistaken, Wade Barrett won it back again, like the next night, if I'm not mistaken. We're gonna get our team to look on that right quick.
Intern, look it up.
We got Kingston, Barrett, Miz, and then Barrett won it the next night, and then it was Curtis Axel, The Miz, and Wade Barrett at Payback when Curtis Axel won it in June, and he had it for a little under 4 months. And that's when Biggie Langston defeated him in November, the November 18th edition of Raw. So Biggie Langston did much more for the Intercontinental Championship than Dean Ambrose did for the United States Championship. That goes without any argument. So I definitely give it to Biggie Langston. And I think, and to add on to that, I think that Biggie Langston has a more promising year than Dean Ambrose does. I don't know if there's any type of I don't think there's much. I don't think there's much argument to that as far as who has the most promising year. And you know what's so interesting? That there's only been 3 United States champions the entire year. And Antonio Cesaro had it until a couple weeks after WrestleMania. And Kofi Kingston won, and Kofi Kingston only had it for a month, a little over a month, and lost it to Dean Ambrose. So there's only been 3 U.S. champions the entire year compared to, as far as Intercontinental champions, there's been like 6. Yeah, well, there were 5 total Intercontinental champions. So I definitely think that Biggie Langston has a more promising future than Dean Ambrose does in 2014, because they're building him up that way. So, all right, just to tackle another random Flavor of the Week topic. Episode 66, we talked about the life and times of world-class championship wrestling. That was a pretty interesting Flavor of the Week episode. Talk about some unfortunate deaths and some people who came from world class, like Shawn Michaels and Mick Foley when he was Cactus Jack, and the Freebirds, of course. And WCCW had a really good pool of talent at the Sportatorium that they really made the Dallas, Texas scene very, very popular. And was it, I think it was like 90, I think it was like 91 when there was a match between Eric Embry and when he was feuding with Skandor Akbar. He won and changed it to USWA. So, yeah, interesting flavor of the week episode talking about world-class championship wrestling.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I mean, anytime you talk about the Von Erichs, I mean, that's absolutely wonderful. I mean, they're a dynasty among wrestlers. So, I mean,
absolutely.
That's absolutely beautiful.
The Von Erichs are the team. Next category in the year-end awards is the title change of the year. The nominees are the Rhodes Brothers defeating the Rollins and Reigns for the Shield at Battleground, Biggie Langston defeating Curtis Axel in the November 18th episode of Raw, or Daniel Bryan defeating John Cena at SummerSlam. Who you got?
I got the Rhodes Brothers. I think they were the highlight of 2013 with them winning the tag team titles. I mean, that was just such an awesome. The pay-per-view itself was a bust, but just themselves winning was absolutely probably one of the best moments of the best moment of 2013.
I'm going to go with you on that. I think it's tough though. It's a tough, because I like Daniel Bryan defeating John Cena too. I think that was a very close seconds, the SummerSlam match, but just the feeling and just the poignancy and the emotion that came with that match with the Rhodes Brothers and getting the tag team championships, I think that was absolutely one of the best moments, if not arguably the best moment of the year. Just, I think that finally the WWE got back to traditional tried and true storyline building, and it worked. People were behind them. The emotion was feverish, and I loved the build, and the title change was absolutely fantastic. Next is the trio of the year. The nominees are The Shield, The Wyatt Family, or 3MB.
The Shield, for sure, definitely. I mean, there's no other question of that. The Shield really made an impact 2013. Looks like they're almost ready to kind of break up or go their separate ways. But they, for me, I think they made an awesome impact. They started out really strong, got kind of weak, but they're still lingering. So I just really, I mean, as far as 2013 goes, The Shield definitely had it.
I'm going to definitely agree with that. As far as The Shield, they kind of went on a downhill after Extreme Rules, Payback area. They weren't really as popular as they once were. But I think they kind of revived when the Authority angle came up, and they were just kind of like the henchmen for the Authority. That was kind of like a spike for them. And they've been riding it pretty good since then. They haven't really slumped again. Although I do think that the loss at TLC against CM Punk was definitely a down moment for The Shield. Speaking of CM Punk, episode 20, we talked about the WWE career of CM Punk, which is a very interesting analysis that we had in episode 20. So check out episode 20 if you want to listen to the WWE career of CM Punk. And CM Punk is the best. CM Punk calls himself the best in the world, and he's the longest reigning champion in modern history. And episode 47, we talked about who is the best wrestler in WWE history. So go to episode number 47 if you want to see, or if you want to listen to our thoughts on the best wrestler in WWE history. All right, two more categories. The match of the year, the categories go to, the nominees are Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk at SummerSlam, Chris Jericho versus CM Punk at Payback, or the Rhodes Brothers versus Rollins and Reigns at Battleground?
Man, with CM Punk and Chris Jericho, I mean, that was just an all-around great match. They're both kind of styles are a bit similar, but not too much. I'm always a Y2J fan at the end of the day, but CM Punk put up a good fight.
Yeah, the match of Payback was good. I think that their match earlier this year at Raw was maybe a slightly better all around, but this one is a nominee just because of the, you know, return Chicago crowd, CM Punk. So the build and all the emotion was there that it helped. But I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk at SummerSlam. It was the David versus Goliath match. CM Punk had his back against the wall with the whole angle with Paul Heyman. And I think that it was just a phenomenal match. SummerSlam, if there was a topic of the pay-per-view of the year, SummerSlam, without question, pay-per-view of the year goes to SummerSlam. SummerSlam was the best pay-per-view in 2013, and Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk was definitely the show stealer of that match, although John Cena and Daniel Bryan was really good too. And then the heel turn by Randy Orton and Triple H when Randy Orton cashed in the Money in the Bank briefcase, it was just a really, really, really good pay-per-view. And I think that we need more pay-per-views like SummerSlam 2013. And Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk really set the standard, really set the stage of the excellence of SummerSlam 2013. All right, we're going to close the show with the final category of the Pancakes and Power Slams 2013 year-end awards. Superstar of the Year. The category Superstar of the Year, the nominees is Randy Orton, John Cena, or Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, it was his year, definitely. I mean, John Cena's had his years in the early 2000s. Randy Orton really hadn't had a whole lot, period. So Daniel Bryan really stood out this year. Good for him, kudos. I think that he's going to be a mainstay for a while, so let's keep the momentum going.
I agree, totally. Daniel Bryan is the Superstar of the Year. I don't like how they booked him the last quarter of the year when they were just kind of flip-flopping. Yeah, it was. When they were flip-flopping the title on and off of him, he really has not had a legit title reign yet. I mean, his world title reign, when he was World Heavyweight Champion for a few months, it was okay. But he was a heel at the time, and they were just really trying to build and trying to create his character at the time. And him as a heel was just kind of mediocre to me. But, you know, he's really honed his character. He's the most popular wrestler in all of WWE. And building him up to become the top guy was great in the summertime, but then for some reason you decide to just horribly book them after SummerSlam. Just the Night of Champions match, the Battleground match, and then you throw them with the Wyatt family, which to me is just a mid-card stable. It doesn't help Daniel Bryan. The Wyatt family is not over enough. They're not high enough in the WWE echelon for Daniel Bryan to really affiliate himself with. If anything, it's a step down to me, and it doesn't help his character. It doesn't help his resurgence as a top guy. If anything, I'm hoping that this is very temporary and this leads to Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble. That's what I'm hoping. Because I really don't want a Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt match at WrestleMania. I really, really don't want that. And I think that would absolutely hurt Daniel Bryan as a top guy.
Yeah, of course it would. It would totally hurt Daniel Bryan. We're tired of it. this should have been his year to actually just sink his teeth in the WWE, but they didn't want to make it that. So 2014, if they don't fulfill what the people want, that's bad for business.
That's right. That is absolutely not best for business. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close the last day of 2013. We've got less than 3 hours left.
Duke just scored again.
Duke scored again. Yes, that is absolutely fantastic. Go Duke football. Johnny Manziel, he's
I'm
a
not
sophomore.
A Duke fan.
I am. Johnny Manziel is a sophomore.
Problem.
That's actually not my problem because they have a. They're at the end of tonight. They're going to be better than Texas A&M. And Johnny
Yay.
Manziel won the Heisman Trophy last year, so that's something good to say. 11-3 after being just abysmal for so many years, having an 11-3 record at the end of tonight. Go Duke. Although they're not my favorite football team, I absolutely love Duke basketball. So by default, I'm rooting for Duke. I root for Duke football.
Duke,
ladies and gentlemen, we just created a new wrestler, Pancakes and Power Slams mascot. He is the Pancakes and Power Slams heavyweight champion. His name is Duke Dugan. Be sure to email cravewrestling@gmail.com to speak with Duke Dugan, and he'll address any, you know, he'll answer any question that you need to know about wrestling, and he is a wrestling scholar. Duke Dugan is the Pancakes and Power Slams World Heavyweight Champion, and be sure to know him. This is all in fun. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for continuing to listen to Pancakes and Power Slams. We have so much fun every week. We'll go back to our regular scheduled programming next week with the beginning of the new year, the first episode of the new year. 92 episodes down. We have seven more to go. After next week, we'll have seven more before the 100th episode, and just so much fun in store for that. Today, we had so much fun with the year-end awards, with recapping Raw, and, of course, our trivia, and recapping Oat Flavor of the Week's episode. This is 92 episodes, so you better subscribe to iTunes and listen to as many Pancakes and Power Slams episodes as you possibly can. If you can listen to your internet while you're at work, why don't you go to iTunes and listen to Pancakes and Power Slams throughout the day? Just think about this. Each episode ranges from an hour, 15 minutes, unless it's special episodes like this one. It ranges from an hour and 15, 20 minutes to an hour and a half. So if you listen to about 3 to 4 Pancakes and Power Slams throughout the day, it will help your work day. You listen to a couple Pancakes and Power Slams in the morning. You take your lunch. You take your morning break. Finish it. Take your lunch. Take your afternoon break. Listen to a couple more. There you go. You have 92 to choose from. So you'll be listening, and your workday will go just as breezy as it can be. So I expect all the listeners to listen to all 92 episodes on iTunes. If you don't, it's okay. I understand. But we got 92 plus more for you. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your new year. Be safe. Be safe. Don't do nothing crazy. Be safe. Be safe. Be safe in this new year. And just remember to leave all of the dirt and grub and anguish of 2013. Leave it all behind. No matter if it's people, if it's friends you lost, if it's loved ones who treated you wrong, if it's, you know, people who lied to you, all that stuff, leave it behind. Leave it in 2013. Make 2014 your year and have so much fun doing it. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. Go Duke. And God bless.
Duke Dugan.
And have and shout out to Duke Dugan, and have a happy new year. Have fun, be safe, and God bless. Bye-bye.